And it's that time of day again on a Saturday. You're listening to Upstate Outdoors. I'm Philip Gentry, along with he grew up in Alabama town, had a pistol packing mama who never was around, but he grew up tall and he grew up right with them Alabama boys on Alabama nights. Tommy Springer.
That was pretty good, Philip. How y'all doing out there? Everyone had a great Thanksgiving.
You're supposed to answer with Last Dance with Mary Jane.
Well, I guess I just wasn't catching on fast enough.
Speaking of Last Dance with Mary Jane, we're coming to you live today from CNC Indoor Shooting Range, which being indoors is a good thing today, at least for maybe, I don't know, another hour or so, because it looks like the sun's about to peek out. But if you got some time this afternoon, you need to head on down CNC Indoor Range. They're having their Black Friday sale all weekend long. We got some amazing ammo and gun deals. For example, Smith & Wesson 380 EZ with the gun vault.
Included.
$309.99. So you won't find a better deal on that anywhere. You also can get 500 rounds of Federal 9mm ammo for just $94.99. And also, they got a lot of specials going on here. They're discounting their memberships at CNC Indoor Range by $25. Pre-guns are 10% off. They're going to have all kind of stuff going on here, including, hey, they'll even buy you lunch today.
Exactly.
We're going to have free barbecue going on. We're located at 8287 Asheville Highway in Bowling Springs. Those of you who are longtime fans of the show.
Yes.
Remember, we were here last year.
Last year about this time.
And basically, if you're coming into Bowling Springs, look to your left and you'll see it. You'll have to go down a little ways and turn around.
Yep.
But it's where the great big bullet is.
Standing out front.
And sitting out front. So, Springer, how was your Thanksgiving holiday?
It was nice and peaceful and quiet. And the food was great, and that's just how I like it.
Yeah.
No drama, no, you know, arguing about politics over the Thanksgiving dinner, just nice, quiet, and calm. Food was great, you know, the fellowship was great. That's just how I like it, brother.
Awesome. Well, that's good. I had a similar experience. I spent pretty much 3 days in the woods.
Yeah.
And so if you out here and go, what's that smell?
It's not bad.
Like they say on our promo, what's that smell? Oh, it's PG. You hadn't had a bath in like 3 days.
It's not bad.
Been
PG.
In the woods.
You know, if it'd been 85 degrees for 3 days,
normally I would
over there.
Normally I would jump in the creek. But I had a good Thanksgiving. Me and Boat Girl spent some time in the woods.
I seen that.
Then she had to go to work.
Yeah, workaholic.
Yeah. Well, you know, you do what you got to do. So.
Yeah, we all do.
When there's nothing to do, I headed out to the woods. So I've had a couple of exciting hunts this
week.
Yeah,
some we can talk about.
I know.
And some we can't talk
about. Yeah, some we can't talk about. I'm still trying to figure out how to clean that story up, but I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Well, you got a whole week, and maybe you can work something out for next week.
Yeah, okay. So we got a great show coming up for you today. We're going to be talking to Leslie Harrell. He's the owner here at CNC Indoor Shooting Range, and he'll give us the inside scoop on all the stuff that they've got going on here and also kind of explain to you how you can get involved with all the activities going on here.
Yep.
Then we're backing it up a little bit. Normally we start with the Upstate Outdoors blog, but wanted to get Leslie in first.
Because he's a little busy today.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's running around here like a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest. which is a good thing to have a gun if you're in a butt-kicking contest.
True.
People pay attention to you then.
Exactly.
In the Upstate Outdoors blog, we're going to talk about Skycarp.
Yeah, okay? I know what those are.
Skycarp. If you ever been driving around and, you know, people who were, you know, maybe new to the area. I mean, everybody's seen a Canada goose, right?
Of course.
And they're like, why are they standing around out in the yard? I mean, you know, people are used to seeing Canada geese, like, on their – if you watch on the movies, they, like, do the –
that are actually flying.
The migration back and forth. And you hardly ever see Canada goose flying here around the upstate.
True.
And so I wrote the Upstate Outdoors blog on the origins of resident – Canada geese.
Right. Now, you can usually get them to fly when you try to run over them with a golf cart while you're playing golf.
They will fly. And so it's actually a great addition to for waterfowl hunters here in the upstate because, you know, we're not necessarily in a flyway, but a lot of waterfowl hunters. And today is the last day of the first segment of the waterfowl season. It's got a couple segments. So we'll get into all that. Then we'll jump into Talking about wild turkeys, and I noticed that DNR released their numbers. Wild turkey numbers are still showing a slight decline.
Yep.
And a lot of turkey hunters out there wondering, well, you know, what can be done about it? And I found an article that was actually written by a friend of mine, Jim Mize, who's actually a humor writer.
Right.
He's an award-winning humor writer, but he wrote a pretty cool story about how the recovery of the wild turkey from historic times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it'd be kind of cool to go back and dig up some of the history of the wild turkey. And we're not talking about the bottled
wild turkey.
Talking about we're talking about the actual
one
bird
with spurs.
Itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Spring's going to bring us the Roadkill Cafe.
Yeah, we're having some venison meatloaf today. Another version of meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
Yeah.
Meatloaf. I hate meatloaf.
You do?
No, I don't. I actually like meatloaf.
I do. I love it.
But I like the Christmas story.
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
That was Randy's big thing when
that's
he was serving meatloaf.
That's right. But, yeah, it's another meatloaf dish and a really good one. So there you have it.
Does it got ketchup on top?
It does. It's got ketchup and mustard in it.
Ketchup and mustard. Boat girls at home going, ew! I hate mustard, and I don't like meatloaf.
Well, you can – ooh, that's a double hander.
Yeah.
Golly.
Well, you know, you can't
have
everything.
No wonder she don't weigh but 14 pounds.
15 now, yeah. And then we got – so, you know, we still – I'm happy to report, you know, we were talking about the lockdown in deer hunting circles.
We were.
A couple of weeks ago when the bucks start really getting into the rut.
True.
And I think we are safely out of the lockdown, at least from my experiences and a lot of stuff folks that I talk to. And
from what I'm seeing, too.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, deer back to they're headed back for seconds.
Right.
So to speak.
Yeah.
And I got 10 deer hunting stand placement tips that you need to know. And it's time to start moving those stands around.
I would agree.
Okay, the strategies and the places that you've been hunting all season long are probably wore out, so it's time to get out and start moving around. So we got some tips for you.
Because it'll be pretty much a trickle rut from now to what, January?
But there's still some good hunting
yeah,
that's
true.
Left. Like I said, if you'll just break out of the norm.
Yep, break out of the norm.
And get into some areas that you've not been in before. And then we're going to have a special guest with us. We got Ryan Flowers from the Clemson Action Shooting Team. They refer to themselves as CAST.
Yes.
Which is not to be confused with the bass fishing
True.
Team or the shotgun
right.
Team. They're a club team at Clemson University. And we're like, Ryan, what are you doing here? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And he's in here in the store and talking all about the competitions mm-hmm. that they're involved in, and apparently they've gone down to Alabama and kicked some butt.
They did.
And so,
you know,
that's good.
In the shooting sports.
Spring, in the shooting sports. Spring says, yeah, in the shooting sports. So.
Hey, it was pretty good conversation, Philip was having with Ryan before we went on the air.
I led him down the path, and
yeah,
I was like, so y'all won a bunch of competitions
yeah.
in Alabama,
Philip,
huh?
You know, Philip was waiting. He talked to Ryan for 20 minutes before he could before he found a moment to jab Springer right in the jaw.
Yeah.
And he did.
Well,
quite,
you know.
Quite nicely, I should say.
I had to wait till you got over there and was listening.
No, I know. I've watched you. I know I know you pretty good, Philip. You know.
They went down to Talladega and won a big competition down there. I don't think it was behind the wheel of a sports car.
No. No, man. You know, there is some action shooting at Talladega infield, but it has nothing to do with those guys. Believe me.
Then we're going to wrap. Speaking of which, we're going to wrap up the show with our calendar of events.
This is crazy.
Is it?
I mean, you know, some people should they should know better, dog.
Then
do that.
Oh, what's that?
That's the parting shot.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know.
And in the parting shot, we're going to talk about, one of the.
I mean, dude. So,
all right.
Let's go.
Let's go to our break. When we come back, we're going to grab Leslie Harrell from CNC Indoor Range and talk with him about what we got going on.
Upstate Outdoors, live from CNC Indoor Range, Asheville Highway, Spartanburg. Boiling Springs. Come by and see us.
And welcome back to Upstate Outdoors. And we have got our host.
Yes,
today,
indeed.
From CNC Indoor Shooting Range out here at 8287 Asheville Highway in Boiling Springs, Leslie Harrell. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, other than free barbecue, which you had me at free barbecue, we got a lot of stuff going on here at the indoor shooting range today.
We certainly do. Lots of activities.
A lot of sales and specials and all. And I really want to get into that. But one of the things that kind of intrigues me is you're offering a discounted membership to the shooting range.
That is correct. You know, we kicked this. I bought this business last year and made lots of changes and all for the better. And we just about this time last year is when we kind of rolled out our membership. So we had a lot of people sign up. So I said, what better way to, you know, to keep these members and attract new members and give them a discount for renewing the membership.
Awesome. So if you're a member here at CNC Indoor Shooting Range, what does that entail?
Well, we have three different classes of memberships. We have a bronze, silver, and gold package. And basically, I built the bronze package for people who want to shoot that doesn't necessarily want to buy a lot of inventory, but they do have benefits. Free gun cleanings, rentals. Of course, we are open 7 days a week, so you shoot as much as you want to. Then it goes over to the silver package, which it has everything, the bronze plus more plus additional benefits, and even inventory reduction, which is huge. So anything in the store that you want to purchase, excluding guns or suppressors, with a silver membership, you get 5% off that.
Oh.
And 10% off training.
Yeah.
Okay, entry-level training, CVP, advanced training, 10% off that. And lastly, when you get to the gold, you get everything the silver and bronze does, plus more of those same benefits, plus additional benefits. So now you're at 10% reduction in inventory and 20% off training as well.
Awesome. Now, tell me a little bit about the shooting that goes on here. I mean, a lot of folks coming in with handguns, but how far out caliber-wise can you go here in the range?
Up to a 300 Win Mag. We have two bays, basically 9 lanes in each. We classify one as the pistol range, one the rifle range. But up to a 300 Win Mag.
Awesome. 300 Win Mag. You know it when somebody's shooting one of those here.
Absolutely.
I bet you have a hard time keeping paint on the walls.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yep.
Jeez.
And we got a lot of specials going on today. We got some really good ammo and gun deal. We were talking about this Smith & Wesson. It's a 380 EZ along with the gun vault for just $309.99. And I grabbed Les before we went on the air, and I said, is this a typo? We got a gun and a gun vault? And he's like, yeah, yeah.
That's it. And the reason I chose this gun, this has probably been our most popular gun, and it's a price point gun. But we have a lot of females coming here and elderly people coming here, and Smith & Wesson hit the nail on the head with this one.
They did.
They rolled it out about a year ago, and when I finally started getting these things in, you can rack the slide on this gun with your pinky.
Oh, wow.
So when you have, like I said, females who come in, the number one complaint is, you know, well, my husband told me to get a revolver, and they go and shoot it, and they're cussing me when they come up. And number two, they can't rack the slide on most
right.
handguns.
Right.
So when you put that in their hand, it sells itself.
So is that part of the membership deal, too, is if your wife's upset that you they just send them over here and they can fuss at you?
That's
and
right,
the husband
yeah.
remains. Okay.
We take the blunt of it.
Well, there you go. That's another added benefit of being a member here. But
well, if you're married for a long time, that just comes
yeah,
natural.
Yeah, yeah. He's just like,
natural.
Whatever.
What say it,
yeah, whatever. Another great deal is we got 500 rounds of Federal 9mm ammo for just $94.99.
That is correct.
A lot of folks go through a lot of ammo here.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we filled up like 2 5-gallon buckets of brass yesterday, so we did lots of shooting.
Wow, and also we talked about some pre-owned guns. You get 10% off of that today. Do you have a lot of inventory folks coming in trading guns in?
Yeah, we do a lot of buy, sell, and trade. And in this area, you know, there are pawn shops and things purchase guns, but it seems like we give the most money for the guns. We want to buy them at a good price from the customer. That way they're happy when they leave here
right.
and they come back and see us. And still allows us, you know, some profit margin as well.
And that's a pretty cool thing, especially if you've got somebody who, you know, if you're looking at trying to turn over guns, somebody who maybe, like, they're working their way up and they're like, well, there's nothing wrong with this gun, but I want to move up or I want something bigger or something different, and they
right.
trade it in. So I imagine you see a lot of well-taken-care-of guns.
Right.
So that's an added benefit, too. Now, we got some games going on
right.
here. I guess we call them games, competitions, and all. And it's the same one that we had last year with the balloon shoot.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So the balloon shoot has 50 balloons on the board. It's kind of like what you see at the carnival or fair. So you pay $5 for a shot. You're shooting a 22 victory. And if you pop a balloon, whatever number is behind is associated with a prize.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So on the board, there's 40 of the 50 balloons do have a prize. And something as little as a free lane, gun rentals, gun cleanings, up to there's 3 memberships on that board. So three bronze memberships on the board. There's a, I think there's two CWP classes on the board, range bags, a variety of other things on the board.
Can Springer use his red
no
rider?
No shotguns.
His red okay. He wants a red rider BB gun he's got.
I'm pretty accurate. I'm pretty accurate with that.
Well, he got that for Christmas a long time ago. It's got this compass in the stock and this thing that tells time, and he's real proud
and
of
I
it.
I shot myself in the eye the second
yeah.
I had it.
That's why he wears it. I tell you what, if you really want him to shoot that gun accurately, he has to wear the suit.
Oh, okay.
The little pink bunny suit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might do that for the right price.
Might do that. So, yeah. 8287 Asheville Highway in Boiling Springs. Been here for a year.
Right.
Very successful year.
It has been. It has been. We've taken the membership. You know, in fact, we've already talked about the membership, but when I bought this place, there was 23 or 24 members total here after being here for 5 years. And that was one thing that I really want to revamp
right.
and grow that. The area needed it, and we did it. So right now we're sitting at just over 300 memberships.
Wow.
So that may be family members or just single memberships, but over 300 memberships.
That's big.
So.
And also I left out one of the events that's going on here. We have a – look, I've never seen this anywhere before, and this sounds like a lot of fun. It's a full auto competition all weekend long. The best shot will win a gold membership. We're shooting automatic weapons here?
That is correct. That's
awesome.
Correct.
Fully automatic.
Yeah. Fully automatic.
I've only shot a fully automatic weapon twice in my life, and oh, what a rush it
yeah.
was.
So if folks want to come in and they're like, man, I've never shot a fully automatic weapon.
You can do that here.
You can drop by here. What is it, about $20?
Yes, for the competition.
For the
yes.
competition?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It says $20, and we supply 20 rounds for you. We're going to give you 10 rounds of practice. That way you can't say, well, I didn't. This is the first time I ever shot this
right, thing. Right, right, right.
So 10 rounds of practice, and the tightest group, the second 10 rounds, at the end of the day wins a gold membership.
Wow.
And that's each day. So we had the guy won yesterday. So each day somebody's going to win a gold membership.
And what would that be that they are shooting in that competition?
It's a target, so it's the tightest group.
Weapon-wise?
Oh, it's a SIG MPX
oh, man.
With a Integral Suppress, Innovative Arm Suppressor on it.
Oh, it's got it. So you can shoot a suppressed.
I need one of those for the next deer drive I'm on.
Do you? You need one of those for
the squirrels in the backyard.
Oh, the squirrels in the backyard, yeah. You know, that would slow down that development that's going
yeah,
on behind your house.
I think
house
they would move on
too.
Down the road.
Yeah.
I'd be in jail with Chuck and have to come pick me up.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. So not only you get to shoot fully automatic, but with a suppressor.
Right.
Wow. That's right.
Which, you know, we've had that conversation before. Now, do you are you involved in – do you sell suppressors here in the store?
Absolutely.
That's getting – seems to be
yes.
maybe getting easier and easier to do or –
Absolutely. We, you know, I bought this place last October. We got our SOT back in, I think it was March. No, it was before that. February, March, something like that, and started selling suppressors. So that's one thing we want to do is get our Class 3, rent the full auto machine guns, and sell suppressors. The suppressor market is just, it's, you know, people, were, you know, a year and a half ago were waiting on this, I forget what they called it now. Anyway, that law to pass where you just
right,
go
right,
buy it,
right.
yeah.
which would be great.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just don't see that happening very soon. So the wait time now is 6 to 9 months. We're starting to see our first letters come back after about 7 months now. But the benefit of buying a suppressor here is while it's in jail for 6 to 9 months, waiting on the paperwork to come back, you can actually take your suppressor and take it down range and shoot it. Once you're done with it, you turn it back in before you leave.
So you get, like, visitation rights.
Right. There you
before
go.
Before you actually own it.
That's exactly right.
That's cool, man.
Where else can you go and buy
know,
a suppressor
man.
And have visitation rights?
I don't know. That's awesome, man.
You know, hey.
That's thinking outside the box.
In this crazy world, you got to do what you got to do,
absolutely.
Right? That is awesome. Well, I want to invite you folks to come down. And Leslie's even going to buy you lunch if you come out here. We got barbecue from...
One of our locals made it, and barbecue, beans, chips, drinks.
Awesome.
Come fill your gut.
So like I said at the beginning of the show, you had me at barbecue. So, Leslie, thanks for being on the show with us. Come on down. We're going to be here, let's see, well, pretty much all day until close.
6 o'clock, yeah, that's right.
Until 6 o'clock. Upstate Outdoors will be here until 2 o'clock, and then the B team will be in. That's John and Chuck. From Salute to Service, who will ask you?
They're driving over here right now, and they just gave you the bird.
Yeah, swerve off the road. Actually, I got to say this: who will ask you much more
yes.
knowledgeable questions
and,
about
and
stuff?
In depth, okay?
And,
yeah.
And, instead of just outdoor.
We're just
stuff.
The rednecks that like a good gut pile.
Yeah. I would like to borrow one of those suppressed automatics. So,
me too. Next
yeah.
time I go on a deer drive,
yeah, on
I'm
a deer
on some of that, dude. Yeah.
But we're at 8287 Asheville Highway in Boiling Springs. Just head north on. Where do you tell people to turn around at?
It's if you're heading north from Heron Circle, the road's going to split. And when that road splits, look to your left, you see a 30-foot bullet. If you miss it,
yep.
you don't need to be shooting anyway.
Yeah.
All right? Once you see that, do a U-turn in your own parking lot.
Awesome.
Do it. Well, I tell you what. Next year when we come out here, we're going to try to hook you up with a grader, and we're going to take that berm out right there in front so people can turn left.
Put a little exit right there.
Yeah. Put exit. Or maybe y'all could just use that to shoot at for a while.
There you go.
You know, I mean, you know, DOT would come around after
a while. I'll be in on that because I'm all about some instigation and, you know, and stuff of that nature. You know, my neighbors hate me. So
yeah.
There you go.
Awesome. Well, folks, come on down if you want to get more info. On the way, you can go to ccammo.com. That's the website here. Check it out. We're having the Black Friday sale all weekend. CNC Indoor Shooting Range. Leslie, thanks for being on the show with us.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to go to a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about, hey, I could use one of those suppressed
go automatics. To the golf course and shoot those Canadian goose.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go down to the golf course and shoot me some Sky Carp.
All right, right here, Upstate Outdoors, live at CNC Indoor Range, 8287 Asheville Highway, Bowling Springs. Come by and see us. We'll be back on the flip side. Yeah.
Welcome back. Upstate Outdoors coming to you live today from CNC Indoor Shooting Range. It's their Black Friday sale going on all weekend long. If you were listening to last segment, we had Leslie Harrell. He's the owner here, and they are rolling out the red carpet. They got barbecue. They got all kinds of competitions. They got a lot of sales on stuff going on. So if you're a self-confirmed gun nut, or even if you're just kind of interested in guns, you need to come on out here today. We'll be here until 2:00. Salute to Service will be here from 2 to 4. Can't call them the B team anymore because Chuck's here. He'll. I'm kind of scared of Chuck. You know,
he can be rather intimidating.
Yeah.
He's got that crazy look in his eyes.
Yeah, and it's the beard, too. So, hey, Chuck, how you doing, bud? Yeah, good to see you. No, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
So, the Upstate Outdoors blog this week, was thinking about this, and, you know, yeah, I always try to – my inspiration for these blogs is kind of, well, what's going on,
right, and
so to speak. Well, today is the last day of the winter waterfowl season. It's kind of like dove season. They have two or three different segments of it. They have an early season in September, and then they have a Thanksgiving season for about a week, two Saturdays, and then it'll come back in later on in December. And you can shoot geese during all these, but a lot of folks look at Canada geese and go, where did these birds come from?
Right.
Especially if you're accustomed to, you know, what is that movie they had about the flight of the goose or something? And there was some girl and some ultra. Anyway,
yeah.
So depending on your perspective, South Carolina and much of the Southeast is blessed to have an abundant Canada goose population. Some folks hate them, others love them, and I say that because if you got a bunch of them in an area, I mean they'll land in a grass field and. I mean, they're not really bothering anything unless you got to go clean up where they poop.
Exactly.
Now, despite what you see on television of the big black-faced birds making long migrations each fall, all but a very small percentage of geese in South Carolina are year-round resident birds.
Mm-hmm.
They move in and they don't move out.
Right.
The story of how these birds came to call South Carolina home, it's a pretty amazing story and a significant accomplishment for waterfowl managers. Back years ago, historically, talking about around the 30s, there was a period of severe population decline along their migratory routes, basically stemming from commercial overharvest. You know, a lot of folks were, you know, like everything else, there wasn't a whole lot of regulation.
They were none.
And, you know, you look at, I'm thinking like the striped bass fisheries mm-hmm. that were along the Atlantic coast, and you probably got an example of some stuff down.
I've seen some old pictures of Canadian honkers, and they'll have them all stretched. They must be 150, 200 of them stretched out there that
and,
they just
and,
hammered.
And, you know, selling them for food and stuff like that. And basically was over harvest in the early 1900s. Well, several state wildlife agencies began looking at ways to protect the populations of Canada geese that remained along the Atlantic Flyway. Now, in the early 1960s, there were small groups of giant Canada geese. Now, and kind of bear this in mind because they're different subspecies, races, whatever you want to call
right.
of this bird. And the giant Canada geese were discovered in a number of waterfowl refuges, mostly in the northern states, and federal and state waterfowl agencies saw an opportunity to begin transplanting those birds to rebuild populations of Canada geese. Basically, the people of South Carolina miss seeing geese in the air and in their local waters, and hunters miss the opportunity to harvest geese when the migratory population decline. That's according to recently retired DNR Waterfowl Program Coordinator Dean Hergel. Geese were captured from states like New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island and moved into our state with the intention of establishing a resident Canada goose population. So, yes, you can go back and blame it on DNR if you hate them. DNR did this.
They
one
did
time,
do this. They
this
did
the one
do this
time
one.
DNR says, yes, yeah. We did that. We yeah. intended to do that.
Right.
The effort has been a tremendous success. The initial populations we originally established back in the 1980s have morphed into what is now a statewide population of resident geese. Now, the result has created new hunting opportunities for waterfowlers and a bit of a challenge for wildlife managers. Hergel said, we do get a few calls about nuisance geese, mostly from urbanized areas. That's what Springer was referring to. A lot of folks call them golf course geese,
yep.
public parks,
yep.
mall parking lots. I like to call them sky carp.
I do too. I like that better than
yeah.
anyone.
Now, while people enjoy seeing three or four geese in a scenic setting, you know, flying over the lake,
yeah.
they get a little upset when that population turns into 25 or even 50 large birds, and it's even more fun when it's in the springtime when they got goslings with them.
Yeah.
You ever walk up to one and have them hiss at you?
Man, I've had them get after me at some farm ponds back in the day,
buddy. They would chase you around. Now, it's unclear exactly what occurred to convince these birds to take up year-round residence rather than migrate each season, as is customary of Canada geese populations. But a lot of folks think that it stems from the original stocks that they chose to populate from. The repopulated birds were the remnants of geese that had been pen-raised. You know, you think about that a lot, like our buds down at the Clinton House Plantation, where they have pen-raised quail. And Mike Johnson will tell you, I mean, you would think that sooner or later they would be overrun with wild quail that were formerly pen-raised,
right.
and they're like, nah, they you know, they don't survive even if they don't get shot.
Sure.
They don't survive for very long. Now, these geese are thought to have lost their migratory instincts, and several waterfowl biologists believe that crossbreeding between, like I said, the old giant Canada geese and other strains of birds from different flyways has led to the formation of a subspecies of Canada goose. Now, I'm going to get all biology nerd on you. I'm
okay.
going to try to stray away from that.
Okay.
Yeah, that, to me, is very interesting when you start talking about strains of fish, you know, in reintroducing stuff. And I tell you what, I really don't think in today's environment that a biologist would do that.
I don't think they would either.
Because the big thing now in state waterfowl wildlife management is to preserve what's there. Because anytime you introduce something,
yeah.
you're pushing something else out.
Exactly.
Now, with the Canada geese, I have no idea, you know, what might be pushed out. I mean, it seems to me like, you know, there weren't any birds in the golf course, and now there are.
Yeah.
So, but these birds are not only reluctant to migrate except when extreme weather events dictate. Banding studies have shown that they've kind of developed a salmon-esque tendency to return
that
to the place
sense.
Where they were born and feed and regenerate and populate there again. So it makes it hard to eliminate them.
Yeah.
So when they're coming back. Now, their strong survival rates have led to currently larger Canada geese numbers in North America. As a matter of fact, according to state waterfowl managers, there are more Canada geese in North America now than there ever have been in history.
I can believe it.
So if you're looking at wildlife success stories, you know, they took a bird that was hunted almost to extinction.
Yeah.
And they brought them back to where now.
They're a nuisance.
They're a nuisance.
Great story.
Yeah.
And I mean that, you know, light, you know, that's light humor there.
Oh, okay? Yeah. You know? And so, you know, talking about hunting opportunities for Canada geese, the entire month of September, of course, that's already passed. You got from September 1st to September 30th. And look at the bag limit.
I see that.
It's 15 birds.
What in the world are you
going
to do with 15
per day?
Big old honkers, Philip?
You can feed your cats from now
for
the rest of
the year. My next question was, What's your best way to prepare a sky cart?
I have tried a lot of different.
I have eaten it before.
Yeah.
It just.
Now, people who have eaten the migratory Canada geese swear that it's night and day difference.
Maybe.
I have tried to eat resident Canada goose. To me, on a good day, it's a poor grade of liver is what it tastes like.
That's what I was.
But you know, it boils down to anything else. It's a matter of how long you cook. I put them in a crock pot. I deep fried them.
Yeah, it was edible to me. Where they used a lot of citric fruit to cook the bird with.
That's
my experience.
So other than the early September season, you got November 17th through November 24th, which ends today. But the Creole limit is reduced down to 5 birds per person. But that's going to open back up December 8th through January 27th. That's the balance of the waterfowl season. So you can hunt ducks and geese at the same time. And then they even open a late season from February 13th until February the 28th, still with a 5-bird bag limit. But so folks who at one point, I spent a bunch of money, and I got some of the full-size flocked head Canada goose decoys, and we used to go set those out on the islands on Lake Hartwell.
Right, hammer.
And all you have to do is get their attention.
Yeah.
And that, of course, that was years ago when they first established those populations, and those birds were pretty dumb.
I will tell you what I will know my little bit about. That is a tough bird to bring down.
Yeah.
I mean, you really got to lay a good load into that big jumper.
You got to – basically, it's like dove shooting. You got to aim for the chin strap.
Basically.
Aim for the chin strap when you can – and that's what a lot of folks will tell you that hunt these geese is if you can't clearly make out the chin strap, they're too far away.
That makes sense to me.
So let's go to our break. We're coming to you live today from CNC Indoor Shooting Range. Come on down and see us. We're going to have a free barbecue. It's like we're going to take credit for that. But, you know, whatever. As long as you're eating, it's good. Listen to us. And we'll come back after the break and talk about the recovery of wild turkey.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, live at CNC Indoor Shooting Range at 8287 Asheville Highway in Bowling Springs. Come by and see us. We'd love to say hello.
Well, speaking of the final countdown.
The popcorn's ready.
Popcorn's ready?
You don't remember that commercial?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in the microwave. Well, I was speaking of the countdown for here at Upstate Outdoors. We'll be here until 2 p.m. at the CNC Indoor Shooting Range. They're having their Black Friday sale basically all weekend long. They'll be here till close. And if you miss us at 2 o'clock, well, you can always talk to John Turner and Chuck Porter from Salute to Service.
Absolutely.
They'll be here from 2 to 4, and then the folks will stay here. They're open until, what do you say,
8
o'clock? 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
Oh, you said 8 o'clock.
No, man, I wrote it down.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, 6 p.m.
All right, they'll be here till 6. Come at 8, you're too late.
Basically.
Well, I found this article on it's actually Rural Thinking, RethinkRural.com, but it's an article that was written by a friend of mine, Jim Mize, who is a great humor, award-winning humor article author, I should say. And he's talking about the recovery of wild turkey. Now, this is entirely different from recovering from wild turkey.
Absolutely. Big difference.
Which is what Springer's doing today after the holidays.
No, I did.
He comes in getting...
I may be turkey drunk, but it ain't from the liquid turkey. It's from the turkey leg, the turkey breast, the turkey blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to cure my boy off the wild turkey. But they're talking about... there you go. That's it. Now, America's turkey population, we were talking about how the Canada goose populations had declined, and similarly, America's turkey population diminished to near extinction 100 years ago, basically due to habitat loss. And Jim writes a pretty nice article here about how they have recovered the turkeys, and a lot of this it's centered it around the Wild Turkey Federation in Edgefield, South Carolina. And in the early days, Native Americans depended on wild turkey for food, and it became an important element of their culture.
They only took what they needed. Plenty of turkeys was the proof.
And a lot of them were, they were like using turkey spurs for, you know, wearing his necklaces. Oh, wait a minute.
Feathers for.
Yeah. You ain't got a feather headdress, do you?
No.
I know you got the turkey spurs. Right. I've seen that.
I've always thought, you know, that would be cool to have an Indian, full Indian headdress, man. That would fit me and my personality.
Well, by the early 1800s, the turkey had become a target of market hunters and a source of sustenance. But mass timber harvest removed a lot of turkey habitat. You know, it sounds a lot like quail,
too. And it also sounds a lot like what's going on with the turkey populations today.
Yep, same thing. Basically, the impact of that was that the turkey numbers diminished. By the 1930s, the nation's turkey population was estimated at a mere 30,000. You know, before we went into World War II, there wasn't a whole lot of nothing around.
No, there was not. Deer
numbers are down, turkey numbers, geese. In order to restock the flocks, early efforts involved releasing pen-raised birds. I didn't really realize how similar this was to the geese.
It's really similar.
So I'll start presenting it. Now, those efforts are rarely effective in establishing wild flocks. We talked about this.
Yes.
The birds are unable to compete in the wild.
They ain't got no good smarts.
Yeah. That's when biologists shifted their efforts to trapping and transferring wild turkeys from one location to the other. You know, it'd be kind of hard to dart a turkey, right?
Yeah, well, you've seen how they do it, though.
And he flies off.
It's like a giant cast net, dog.
Yep.
I mean, they get them there and boom, and a huge net, and it'll get 60, 70 at a time.
It says in 1948, H.H. Deal and W.H. Thornsberry, I guess they didn't go by first names back then.
I reckon so.
They invented a cannon net that could be fired over, like Spring was talking about, a flock of birds. And in 1951, the first turkeys were captured with a net in Francis Marion National Forest in Uji. That's pronounced Uji. It looks like Huger.
I know.
Anybody who's
ever first place I ever hunted in the state of South Carolina when I moved here.
Francis Marion National Park?
Yep.
And you know, this is pretty funny because that sort of parallels the whole deer repopulation in the upstate.
Yes.
When the market hunters decimated the deer populations, where did they go to find deer to put in the upstate? They went down there to the Sumter Francis Marion National Forest, and you're like, well, you know, what's the deal with all that? Well, the thing about it is, nobody hunted in there.
No.
Because it was all swamp.
Right.
So it was basically a habitat for wildlife that a lot of the market hunters and folks didn't go in there and decimate.
Right.
So the biologists were able to go in there and recover deer populations and turkey populations. Mm-hmm. Now, in 1973, turkey numbers had risen to 1.3 million birds. That's up from 30,000 nationally.
Yeah.
The same year, the National Wild Turkey Federation was founded, a new organization basically of outdoorsmen and sportsmen that worked with wildlife agencies. And since that time, they have done a lot of really cool things they've learned a lot about turkeys and what it takes to grow turkeys.
And habitat.
And that is the number one thing is habitat. And I'm going to open up a can of worms here. But
no.
Me and Springer are big on fishing, so we like opening cans
absolutely.
Of worms here. One of the things that they talk about, and a lot of this, I mean, it's in the news today, heated is controlled fire burns.
Bingo.
And a lot of folks, and I hear it even here, when they start doing controlled burns during the springtime and when they do our national forest, and a lot of folks will say, man, you're wiping out wild turkeys. You know, they need to do it in smaller doses, or they need to do this, or they need to do it earlier, or they need to do it later. But the fact of the matter is, they need to do it.
Right.
I don't think anybody in the state of South Carolina argues that they need to do
it. Agreed.
And, of course, the can of worms is, you know, we're watching on the news all these wildfires that are going on in California.
Yep.
And if you dig into the news, I'm sure, you know.
I'm all over it.
I'm sure the folks all during the week have been talking about
right.
this because it's, you know, it's national news now. But the problems that they're having in California is they've not done control burns. They let the national forest basically just do what they're going to do.
Right.
And
trees dead, leave them up, blah, 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 blah.
And all it's doing is producing a lot of really hot timber
yes.
in an area that's very arid to begin with
yep.
and has a lot of wind.
Yep.
And, man, when you don't clean out that fuel, and that's basically what it is, you got standing fuel.
Yep.
then you have these wildfires and they just take
off. It's going to burn bad and burn fast and burn hot.
And I posted an article that I found. It was written by your buddy Ted Nugent.
Uncle Ted.
About how
he'll tell you about it.
About how he was working as a, I don't know, junior fire.
Yeah. He's done a little bit of everything.
Over in Northern California.
Right.
And the environmentalists out there were like, no, you're not touching anything. You're not doing any kind of logging. Even, you know, folks don't realize how beneficial logging is. They're saying, oh, it's all about capitalism. You just want to destroy our forest.
Wrong.
So that you can make money about it. And the thing about it is, if you're not maintaining those forests, they're going to do what they're designed by nature to do.
Burn. Eventually.
And they'll burn. And that's nature's method. But the problem is, I mean, that's fine.
Right.
If you want to say, hey, we're not going to do anything, well, don't start inhabiting those areas. Don't start building residential homes
Bingo.
In there. Or you're going to see what's happening.
Yes, sir.
I mean, whole towns that they got one road in, one road out.
Not a good thing.
And, you know, I mean, a lot of bad stuff going on. So, getting back to the wild turkey stuff, a lot of habitat enhancement. Also, you know, talking about planting some food products and all that benefit those birds, and keeping the low vegetation for them to nest in. And I think nesting thing is controlling predators. Another one,
yes,
and just a lot of stuff. So good article by Jim.
Yes,
Mines.
It was.
And we're going to go to our hour break now. Come back. We're live from CNC Indoor Shooting Range.
Be back on the flip side with the Roadkill Cafe in the second half of the show. Stay tuned. 106.3 WORD, the Upstate Outdoors. Tommy and Phillip.